Hi, my name is Terry, and I am a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Terry.
And I am from Wichita, Kansas. And I am so happy to be here in Atlanta and at the International. It's just been a wonderful experience. There's a wealth of information out there in our literature on sponsorship, and one of the best is this pamphlet here that's available to all of us. And so I'm not going to go over this because it's available to you. It defines sponsorship as the mutual and confidential sharing between two Al-Anon members. And that's just a great definition. And there are some words that are real important to me, and that the word mutual is real important too, because it really is, as the theme says, working together to recover. What I'm going to share today is really just kind of my experience with it, some stories of things that I have learned in this journey of sponsorship. The best news for me and for all of us, I think, is Tradition 8, which Tradition 8 says that 12-step work should remain forever non-professional. And that means that I don't have to be a social worker or a therapist or a psychologist or anything. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't be a social worker, a psychologist, or a therapist, or anything. That is not my role as a sponsor, is to be a professional. It isn't. It's just to be, to guide somebody else through this journey of recovery and to send them back to the program. It's really just two people who share a common problem and can share a common solution, and that is our wonderful program and principles of our program and the 12 steps and all that we have. The qualifiers, to be a sponsor, I was really worried at first when I was asked to be a sponsor if I qualified. And for me, the qualifiers are a little time in the program, helps to have been in long enough to kind of get it. Work in the 12 steps. I think that's real important that you have worked at least more than your sponsee. try to keep ahead. A willingness to be a sponsor. I've learned in this program that if I make an active choice, then there's no room for resentment. And so if I say, yes, I will be your sponsor, that's willingness on my part. And then there's no room for me to be resentful if it's, if it's too much stuff, And then to listen. I think that's a real important quality of a good sponsor, is to listen. I recently was purging some things, and one of them was a guide to effective listening. It was a sheet that I had gotten in a counseling class, for parents of exceptional children. So it was not Al-Anon. And so it was a list of things that were guides to effective listening. And the number one thing on that list for effective listening was stop talking. I loved it because that's really, for us, that's really, what we need to do is just stop talking. And I know that with my sponsees, lots of times what it turns out to be is when they call is I just let them talk. I just let them get the whole thing out there. And I might ask a few clarifying questions, but for the most part, I'm just quiet and I just listen to it. And then when they wind down, then I might ask a few other questions like, you said, what did you mean when you said, is that really how you felt? Or what was it? I might ask a few thinking questions. And then I say, okay, are you ready to listen now? And then I might, reflect back to them kind of what I was hearing, or direct them back to the program, or just whatever comes to me at that time. But I spend the first part just listening, and really actively listening so that I can remember and give it back to them. I do have a sponsor, and I'm lucky in that I have, I've had her from the beginning. I first came into this program in January of 1989, and I've been pretty regular since then, except for there was about 6 months to a year there where I kind of quit going. And then my husband got sober, and then I went back, and I've been going, who knew? It was just like, it came out of nowhere. So I've been going regularly since then. But my sponsor has been there for me. And you know, she wasn't a real directive sponsor, but anytime I needed help with anything, then she helped me, and I done a fifth step with her several times, many times over. And anytime I feel like the need to do one, then to do a fourth step, then I'll do that, and I'll call her up and I'll say, I'm ready to meet with you. She's also my service sponsor, which is really good because we're both pretty active in area things, and so I can call her about service issues as well. Although now she's starting to say things like, "Well, those are big questions, Terry, and I'm sure you'll figure it out." That's not what I want to hear. But you know, at this point in our sponsee-sponsor relationship, it's more I call her when there are some issues. And I was just thinking about this the other day. I don't call her near as much because I always think I know what I should be doing. I don't need to call my sponsor. I know what I should be doing. I'm just not there. And I'm really cheating myself because lots of times if I did call her, she would give me a different perspective that this mind never came up with. So I think I really am cheating myself to not call her about specific issues. But what she and I do is we meet about once a month for breakfast. And it just works real well for us. We can talk things out. And what she does for me is she validates my feelings when we get together. She gives me a broader insight and kind of brings in some things that I hadn't thought of before. It didn't occur to me that there were other insights, but she helps me do that. And then lots of times she'll tell me things I don't want to hear, but I think that's what a sponsor does. And most of all, she brings me back to the program, you know. And for me, lots of times, it's acceptance, getting back to acceptance, because that's when I get crazy, as people aren't being the way that I want them to be, and that's where I need to do. My sponsees, I have several sponsees. I have the number varies, and, you know, not sure whether you count the ones that ask you to be a sponsor and then never call or whatever, but it ranges from about 6 to 10 or so. And what I do is when somebody asks me to be their sponsor, I tell them that, you know, I'm willing to do that. I want you to call me once a week. Pick a night and call me once a week. And then we'll, you know, we use the past recovery and I'll say, if you want to get together on a regular basis, we can do that. If you want to use email or whatever, we can do that too. I will work with you the way you want to do it. And some of them call me once a week, and a lot of them don't. You know, some of them do, some of them don't. I'm not a real pushy sponsor. I'm not a real dictatorial sponsor. I'm much more laid back. If you want it, you're going to need to work for it. And sometimes I kind of think, oh, I'm not a very good sponsor because I'm not pushy. But, you know, that's my style. And I think people, if they don't go along with that style, if that doesn't work for them, they'll find a style that works for them. You know, if they need somebody really pushy, then there are pushy sponsors out there. And, you know, I don't think one is good or one is bad or whatever. I think that we all have different styles that we work with. We get together. We work we get together if they want. I do try to get together with them face to face sometimes. It can't all be phone, but I do like to get that call once a week. We use the past to recovery, but I really like that person to take the responsibility for calling me, for reading the material, bringing the issues to me. And I fight myself with calling them sometimes, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Of the sponsees that I have, several are out of town, and I have one that she emails me just every once in a while. She'll just send me this long, long email, and, you know, I'll respond to that, and that works for her. And that I tried to email with my sponsor, and it did not work with me. But it works for her. For some, we just do a call once a week. For some, I have one that just calls me in crisis. She's in crisis, and she's calling me or texting me or whatever. And that's what she wants right now, you know. I gently suggested that she get back to calling me once a week, and she, yeah, I need to do that, but she doesn't. But, you know, then this last week what she did was something really good happened, and she texted me. And, you know, I mean, that was a good thing. So there, I'd just like to share now some little tricks or some guidelines that I have used or that I have found that work for me. The main thing that I do is that when I see on my phone that it's one of my sponsees calling, the very first thing I do before I even answer it is to give it to God, is to just say a prayer. And sometimes it's not even words. It's just that idea of you take over. Because if I ask for that guidance right then I'm amazed at what comes out of my mouth sometimes. I mean, there's a little piece of my little, you know, part of my brain that's going, wow, that's really good stuff, you know, because I didn't know where it came from. I mean, it really doesn't come from me. It really comes from being that channel of when I ask for help, it's there, and somehow I know what to say. What also happens is that little voice is also saying, Terry, you need to be doing this yourself. This is exactly the problem that you're having, and you need to. And that happens quite a bit, is that when I'm telling them something, it's exactly what I need to be doing. So that's where that mutual benefit comes in. You know, it's not just for them. I hear things, even from my own mouth. I hear things from them, but I hear things from me that I need to hear too. Another thing I need to always remember is the no advice thing. And that's hard, isn't it? Because we know what people should be doing. I mean, we know that. But, you know, I had this woman that I sponsored for a while. She's not in the program anymore. But she was with this guy, and so often I just wanted to say to her, get rid of that SOB. Oh, my God, he will never change. Oh, my gosh. I said, he's cheated on you. He will never change. He's lied to you. I wanted to say that, and I couldn't. I couldn't say that. And, you know, I would say, you have choices. But I couldn't tell her to do what I thought she needed to do. And that's what the program teaches me. Well, a couple years later, after she quit coming to Al-Anon, she just, you know, for various reasons, there were reasons that she didn't, and she was still with him. Somebody very close to her died, and so I went to the service. And he was right there beside her, supporting her through that. And she said something about how, oh, he had been such a support to her. And it really kind of humbled me, because I realized that, you know, all I see is my little picture right here of right now today. And I don't see the big picture. And how do I know that she needed to keep him just so he would be there to support her in 2 years from then? You know? So it just validated for me once again, I can, even when I think I know the best for that person, I cannot tell them what to do. I cannot give them that advice. Although, you know, when there's violence, I will say, when there's violence in the home, and I have dealt with a few sponsees that have had that, you know, I'm very pertinent about, let's get plan B, and you know, nobody deserves to be hurt kind of thing. I'm a little more pointed with that kind of thing, as is Al-Anon in general, I think. Boundaries, you know, setting some boundaries is, I think, really important. And the story I have for this is this sponsee that I have. And she lives in another state, and she lives, like, at the poverty line or below the poverty line. I mean, she's just barely making, I'm not even sure she's making what she needs to live on, you know. And I'm not rich by any means, but I'm, you know, definitely middle class, definitely have what I need. You know, maybe not all the things I want, but I definitely have what I need. And she calls me, and I listen, and I give her encouragement and things. But, you know, I can hear her struggle. I can hear her struggle with life and all that life throws at her. And just last fall, she was in a real financial crisis. And, oh, my gosh, I wanted to send her money. And I didn't say anything to her about it, but I had all after she hung up and I was thinking about it over the next couple weeks, I had it all figured out that I would send, you know, it's close to Christmas. We give charity. It's a good thing, you know. My higher power wants me to do this. I mean, I really had it all figured out that it would be okay to do this. But I decided to run it by my sponsor. And she, you know, she didn't knock it out of hand, but she did ask me some questions about it. And she asked me one question that really made me think, and it really made me change my mind. And what she said was, how do you think this is going to affect your relationship with her? And I thought, well, yeah, probably a lot. I mean, it could damage that relationship. I mean, it would change it from a sponsor-sponsee to somehow a benefactor, you know, relationship, or that she might feel like she owes me or something like that. And so it really made me change my mind as to whether to do that. And what I had, so I had to take the money off the table, and I had to be okay with that, the love that I give her, and I give her lots of love when she calls. I always say, oh, I'm so glad you called today. I just love it when you call. And I give her lots of encouragement. I give her lots of love, and I listen, and I she's always asking me, how can you stay grateful? And we talk about that. I have to accept that that's enough, that that's a lot for her. And so that's okay. Don't take it personally. That's a good one. I had one sponsee that, and she quit going to the program too, but she would just get so angry, and she would just yell at me, and she would say, how come everybody else has, I'm the only one that has to change. Everybody else can do what they want, but I have to, you know. And I'd say, no, that's not, I'm not their sponsor, I'm just yours, you know. And she would get so angry and start yelling, and I would say, I will not be yelled at, because I don't take that anymore. And I never hung up on her. She hung up on me lots of times, but I never hung up. I would just say, I will not be yelled at. You know, through all of that, I had to really work not to take that personally and not to be mad at her. And it was, I wouldn't say it's a wonderful opportunity, because it was hard. It was a hard opportunity. And I had to, because I was mad at her. And I had to work through that and just remember that she was damaged. You know, she was a hurt person, and hurt people hurt people. And that's what was going on. And so it really made me work my program that she would get so angry and be so hateful to me. And I was just loving to her. It was hard, but I was just loving to her. I'm running out of time. I got a couple more. Ego. Ego is probably my biggest stumbling block with being a sponsor, because I want them to get it. I want them to get it. And when they don't get it, I think it's a reflection on me, you know? And I have to remind myself that it's not about me. It's not about me at all. I have to take myself out of it. And I had a spiritual awakening about this recently. And for me, a spiritual awakening is just kind of, it's no big white light for me. It's just that as a result of working the steps and reading the literature and going to meetings and talking to my sponsor, I do get it. You know, I finally get the program, and I can start living the principles, you know. But it takes all that work. And so it's just realizations of clarity that happens to me in seeing and using these principles. And what I realized is that I had my spiritual awakening as a result of all that work. And everybody else has their own spiritual awakening as a result of what they've done. And I can't give that spiritual awakening to anybody else. I can't. I'd love to give it to you, But I can't. It's kind of a step one issue, really. I can't give you that spiritual awakening. You have to get it as a result of reading the literature and working the steps and going to meetings and talking to your sponsor. And then when you do have that spiritual awakening, you can take credit for it, you and your higher power. And nobody else, your sponsor or anybody, can take credit for that because you've done the work. And so that helped me kind of pull my ego out of it and just let them get their spiritual awakening at their own time. And I'm just there. I'm just another tool that they can use to do it. I have one little story, and then I'm going to go. Because it was just so funny. It just happened last week. I had a sponsee call me, and I've had this sponsee for a long time, and she's just doing really good. She's been through all the steps, and she's kind of going through them again, and she's had some real rough times, but we've worked through them. Well, she has a new sponsee, and so this sponsee has an adult son that's using and doing all sorts of stuff, and so she's trying to set those boundaries with that son. Well, she called my friend, and she said, he wants me to cut his hair. She's a hairdresser, and I don't know. And so my sponsee called me. She asked me, she wants to cut his hair. He wants her to cut his hair, but she didn't know what to do, and I don't know what to tell her. And I just, you know, I mean, it just made me laugh, because when you're new, whether a new sponsor or a new sponsee, that's a big deal. Should I cut his hair? I mean, it just seems like such a big deal. And, you know, what I told her is, it's not your job to tell her whether to cut his hair or not. You know, it's your job to direct her back to the program. Pray about it. The answers are in there. But it's not a big deal. You know, it's not a big deal. Sometimes there are good decisions and better decisions. And, you know, she's not going to do anything wrong by cutting his hair or not cutting his hair. But it just, you know, our primary purpose is to direct back to the program. The answers are in the program. The answers aren't in here. The answers are in the program. What I find is that every sponsee-sponsor relationship is as unique as that sponsee. And so, I have to approach each one with that. But the benefit for me is that my own program grows with each one. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Terry. Our next speaker this morning is Joyce.
Hi, my name is Joyce. I'm a very, very grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon, of which Alateen is a part. My home group is the Pearland AFG, located in Pearland, Texas, close to Houston. And if you're ever there at 8 o'clock on Monday night, we meet at the New Life Lutheran Church, and we'd love to have you attend. Sponsorship. Oh, my gosh. What a big word that was for me to hear. When I first came into the program, I was very low self-esteem. But yet I was pretty arrogant, self-righteous. You know, that's how you get yourself through some of that low self-esteem stuff. But I kept going to those meetings because there was something going on in those meetings that I wanted. I walked into the rooms and saw sparkle in the eyes and laughter. I heard a lot of laughter, and I hadn't had that in my life in a while. And I was ready for that. So I started listening and finding out what they did. And what I heard was, keep coming back, the three C's. But then I heard you need to go to meetings on a regular basis, read the conference-approved Al-Anon literature, and work with a sponsor. Now, I could do the reading of the literature. I could go to the meetings on a regular basis, which in my area was once a week. But the sponsorship thing scared me, because I just wasn't sure whether I wanted to share my life with anybody else. But thank goodness there was a lady who came up at about my second meeting and said, honey, we kind of have a thing around here. We like to help people find sponsors. So I'm going to be your temporary sponsor until you can decide what you want to do. That's exactly what I needed, because I'm not sure that I would have ever asked someone to sponsor me at that point. She was a very gentle, sweet, kind lady. She didn't tell me what to do, but she spoon-fed me the program and would have lunch with me every once in a while. And that's when I learned to trust. That was one of the important things of learning the trust between a sponsoree and a sponsor. We went on to greater things for a while, and she developed cancer and passed away. And that was a real growth experience in that. So it was time to find another sponsor. There was one of her sponsorees that I knew. She had the program eventually that I wanted, but I was absolutely petrified at this woman. And I really didn't like her. I'm sorry. I'm from the South. She was a Yankee. And I really thought she had that Yankee mentality. I mean, it was just straight to the point. This is the way it is. But that was exactly what I needed at that point in my program, because I had been working the steps, and I was the step four. And it just wasn't working. It wasn't working. And thank goodness for this lady. Someone had asked me to speak, and she said, "That's fine, you can speak, but you've got to do your fourth step before you speak." So that really got me off of my program complacency and put me into working that. So she taught me how to look at first things first. She also taught me a very important lesson about obedience to the unenforceable, which was my higher power. And she helped me understand my higher power. I'd had a God of my understanding for a long, long time. He was a very loving, caring God. And I was into the church, and I really was in church, and I couldn't understand that. And one night I went to a meeting, and she said, "You know, I go to church on Sunday to learn what to do, but I go to Al-Anon on Monday to learn how to do it." And that gave me permission to be there. And today I still have both of them for me. The church is not as big for me a lot of times as the program is. I'm able to separate the spiritual from the religion. And I'm so grateful for the spiritual. That's where my growth has come from. And it's because of sponsorship that I was able to learn that. As the year after that progressed, and I realized that there were other people in that group that didn't have a sponsor. And one day, someone asked the question in our meeting, "How do you get a sponsor?" Well, I didn't know the answer to that. But others in our group said, "Well, you find someone that you see that has the program that you would like to have when you grow up." And, you know, that was a real important thing for me to hear, because that's what I wanted, was these people out there were calm, serene. They had a lot to share, and I didn't have a clue how to get there. But as I began to work with my sponsor, she said, "It's time for you to sponsor." She said, "You will learn as much or more from your sponsoree." And I am so grateful she told me that. So, long story short, I ended up beginning to sponsor people. I was kind of like you, Terry. I was a very relaxed sponsor. That's how my first sponsor started me. Well, that worked okay for one or two of the first ones that I did. And then I had a lady later on that didn't work for her. She would rant and rave and just let it all hang out in the meeting, but she would never call, never say anything, until she was just in such a crisis that there was no way to get out. So we talked about that, because one of the things that I do when I someone asked me to sponsor them, first of all, I pray about it to see if this is the right fit for me and for them, if I can give them the time that they need. The other thing is I have to really look at, can I do this and be okay with it? So I tell them right up front, we're going to try this. I am honored to be your sponsor. But I want it clear up front that if any time we feel like it's not working, either one of us has the right to fire the other one. And I know that that for me was a really important thing for me to hear, because one of my sponsors, I had a really difficult time with her. She'd gotten sick and was not, she had taken medication that was not allowing that sponsorship to come through. It was really hard for her. And I wasn't getting the information that I needed from her. Not that she was giving me advice, but the guidance, you know, and sometimes listening. She wasn't listening sometimes, or she wasn't giving me options, helping me find those options. And so I thought, you know, I am so glad to know today that someone has given me permission to fire or be fired. It's not that I don't care about you. It's not that. It has nothing to do with that. But sometimes I don't have the experience that you need to get through this, or it's a growth area that I can't handle right now. I'm in a bad spot for that myself, and I can go through some of it, but some of it I have to do something else. I have a few that I've had to go through, excuse me, with kind of like a leave of absence, a temporary leave of absence. And you know, that works fine. That works. If this is not an area that I can be in, why don't you start contacting someone else, and here's some that I think that might be able to help you. And this has really worked for me really well, because I either want to get in and try to fix them, or I'm in so much pain myself that I don't have anything to offer. I need to get it. And sometimes I get it from that sponsoree, and sometimes it just takes, it's got to be bigger than that. She was talking about the sponsorship, what it's all about. I also love this one. This is a bookmark, and it's M78. It's sponsorship, working together to recover. Go figure. That's the name of our workshop. And there's so many things on this where it talks about the different things, the equality. You know, I thought my sponsor, and I thought as a sponsor, when I first started it, I thought, okay, I've got all this wisdom and I'm going to share it. It doesn't work that way. Just does not work that way. I found out that I had to learn how to listen. And for a long time, I didn't. I was real shy in my lifetime. Didn't talk to anybody or say anything. If I did, I told you what I thought you wanted to hear. So this was a growth opportunity for me, because I had to learn how to zip my lips, take the cotton out of my ears, and listen to what you had to say. And as I learned to do that and asked my higher power to help me hear what I needed to hear, I learned a lot more about you, about the sponsoree that I had, and could learn what they were going through. And it's amazing how sometimes that helped me find gratitude. It helped me find a new way of doing something. It got me out of the box. I never thought that that would happen. But I've always heard out of the mouths of babes. And when you have somebody who's particularly new in sponsorship, it's out of the mouth of babes sometimes. And it really has made a lot of difference. I have a problem with boundaries sometimes. And I have one lady particular that I sponsored that just talked on and on and on and on. And sometimes I would be on the phone with her for an hour, hour and a half, and I didn't know how to set boundaries. And so sometimes it was on and on, and I would go to sleep while I was listening to her. That's pretty bad when you go to sleep on your sponsoree. And I guess she finally figured that out one day. And I figured it out when she asked me, "Did you hear what I said?" So I realized then that I had to set some boundaries. And so that was a good growth opportunity for me. But I told her, I said, "I have 20 minutes that I'm available. And after that 20 minutes, I've got something else that I have to do." Now, mind you, that something might be to go to the bathroom or get a cup of coffee, but I had another commitment that I had to fulfill. And I said, "I can do this for 20 minutes, and then what I can do is later this afternoon, I'll have another 30 minutes or so, or we can do it tonight." And set up those parameters for me that would work for me, and give her an opportunity to realize that you can't just go on and on and on and on. The other one that I got was, "Well, my husband did this, and he did this, and when we went out, he was so..." And it went on and on and on and on. So I finally came to the point that I would have to say, "I really appreciate hearing about your husband or your son or whatever. And that's really great. But what did you do in the situation? What was your part? I want to hear what you learned or what you saw." "Well, I didn't see anything because he was doing something." I said, "No, that's... I want to learn what you did." And it finally got to the point that I would have to say, "Okay, thank you for sharing. But right now, until we can talk about you, I need to let you go. And when you can talk about you, call me back, and I am ready to work through that. And we can work that together. But I can't work it for him. So let's let him work his out and let you find your options and your choices." And that worked. That was another one of those boundaries. I was afraid to set boundaries because I was afraid I was going to do something wrong and I was going to make them leave the program or what. That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. So I learned again, there's a word, responsibility. An opportunity to learn how to set that up. I had to learn how to be encouraging but not pushy. And, oh, when I want to do that, it is so hard when I want to tell them what to do. But I do remember I had one lady who came one time to my house, and she was in a very abusive relationship. And it had started out as verbal abuse, and it became physical abuse. And she and her daughter came to the house. We talked about that, and she said, "But I can't leave him." And I said, "You know, I don't say very much, but it says in our literature that we do not have to accept unacceptable behavior and that every person has a right to be safe. And that's my concern. Are you safe?" She said, "No, I'm not." And I said, "Then let's look at that, and maybe you can find some opportunities to change that for yourself, some options. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but let's look at your options to see where you're going from there." That, I realized, was being equal partners in recovery. I was never subjected to physical abuse, and I didn't understand that, and I had to learn about that a lot. I couldn't understand why anybody would stay in an abusive relationship. That made no sense to me whatsoever. But, you know, I learned a lot about that. And it taught me that we love no matter what. We love. And it's real hard to give up that love. We also fear. And that was a big, big lesson for me to learn, understand fear and what that means. Through that, I learned that what fear is. Forgetting everything is all right, or facing everything and recover. And for her, that was a big learning curve to face what's really going on. And I got to watch the growth after that, once she realized that and came out of her denial. But I also came out of some denial in that whole process. Is I can't fix her. I could give her a safe place to stay for one or two nights, but I didn't have to take on her whole life for the rest of her life. It's a recovery resource for learning how to use the Al-Anon principles. And there's so many principles that we learn, and we learn those principles through the steps, but also through the traditions. And trust was one of the first ones that I learned. I trust you, and you trust me. That's in tradition 11. It's learning how to accept each other on each other's terms. And what we say stays there. I don't share that with somebody else. And that's a part of anonymity. You know? Keeping what we say. What we say here, when we leave here, let it stay here. That was really important. I realized that if I was going to build up to the trust, I couldn't share anything she said with someone else, other than maybe saying, I have a situation that I need some guidance on, and just give enough highlights until I could get guidance from someone who had experienced that. But I was very particular not to give enough information away that I could figure out who that was, to the best of my ability. The trust was she had to be willing to understand me and know that she could tell me anything and that I was going to go over and be above and beyond. There's a few things that by law, you know, we are responsible for. But I think that trust factor is really important. Discretion and autonomy. Oh, dear. Discretion. When do I say, I don't have time right now, or I don't have the ability to talk to you about that, I don't have that experience, but let me see if I can find someone who would be able to talk to you about that. Can I give them your number? And I always ask that. The other thing is when I call, if I do happen to call their home for some reason, I never say, this is Joyce and I'm from Al-Anon, and you know, I don't go through that. I'll say, this is Joyce, would you please give me a call? Because you never know on the other end of that phone who's going to pick up that message. This was a lesson that I learned in the program early on, because we had a lady who actually shared something in the meeting. And one of the ladies in the meeting shared with her husband, and one of the husbands told the other her husband, and he beat the soup out of her and almost killed her. That anonymity and that trust was broken. The same thing can happen even with a telephone call if we don't really know what's going on in that household. So I always try to be really, really careful with that. Participation. Participation is very important. I feel like I learned so much from going to meetings. And that's what I like for my sponsorees to do, is to participate. Even when you don't feel like it, sometimes that's the most important time for you to go to a meeting. That's part of tradition, concept four. Participation is the key to harmony. Very important. That's been real strong in my program all the way through. It's also a part of tradition five. And so I like that. Balance. Okay, when I first started sponsoring, I thought I had to do everything with my sponsors. You know, we had to go to lunch, we had to go to meetings, we had to write all the district meetings, we had to go to area assemblies, we had to do all that. Well, that was fine for about 2 months. And I realized that, you know, that's good, but sometimes they do actually need to hear something a little bit more than just from me. So what I found that's a really good way for me to work that is when I go to a district meeting and carry them with me, or we go to an assembly, or we go to a day in Al-Anon, or whatever we go, I tell them up front before we go, I'm so happy that we can ride together. When we get there, I'm going to introduce you to a few people, and I may get busy and go, I may have something else that I need to do, but I'm going to introduce you to some people to get you started. And then you just go up and shake the hands of somebody that you see there that you may not know, and just tell them how glad you are to see them or whatever it is. But I can't be with you all the time and do what I'm supposed to do. So I'm going to give you that opportunity. You know, it's amazing how they gravitate to that, and they come back excited. Oh, I met so-and-so. So I found that was really important. That's part of the balance for me, and that's found in Tradition 10 and Concept 7. Okay. One of the greatest sponsorships that I have been involved in is service sponsorship. That to me was a big part of my recovery. When I first started in service, in what I call the big service, or structured service, I think is the way it was spoken to me, such as a GR or going through that. I still do service on the group level and all that, but I realized that the sponsor I had, she was a great person, and I really liked her, and she had been a GR, and we had gone to area assembly levels together, but that is far as she had gone. She'd never been a DR, and I wanted to pursue some of those things. And so when I talked to her about it, she said, you know, I want to refer you to somebody else because I'm not good at that. I'm not good at that. So I hooked up with someone who became my service sponsor. And she helped guide me through the process when I had questions about why do we do this or how is this done, where do we go, how do you do the meetings, those kind of things. And what I learned as I was doing that, I had to get the service manual out. I had to look at that and learn a lot about how this program works. That was very important for me to learn how to do the service. There is a pamphlet on that. It's called Service Sponsorship, Working Smarter, Not Harder. And it's P88. And if you get a chance to read that, that's very important. Today, my sponsor, my personal sponsor, and my service sponsor are one and the same. I don't go to meetings with her on a regular basis. And when I was early in sponsorship and sponsoree, that was really, really important for me to be in the meetings with her, with my sponsor, because I could tell you anything over the phone or typing in a note. I could make it sound great, but boy, that body language would give me away every time. And that's where I came from. So today, I am able to talk to that sponsor, and I do talk to her on a regular basis. And I found that sometimes I don't really have anything to say, but I just call and say, hey, just want to let you know I'm still alive. And I travel a lot. She knows that. So she keeps up with me on Facebook. But I still need that connection, that one-on-one. That's so important for me. I am so grateful for sponsorship, because had it not been for that, I'm not sure I would have stayed in the program. I am so grateful for the sponsorees that I have today. And I have a lot of people who are not necessarily my sponsorees, or I'm not having them as my sponsor, but we share a lot of stuff, and it really makes a difference. I go to a lot of meetings with them, and I ride in a lot of car road trips with them, and they keep me going. I want to close with one thing that I found in Courage to Change on page 241. Learning to value myself can begin by having the courage to find and use a sponsor. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are saved by love. Thank you. Keep coming back. If you don't have a sponsor, I suggest get one. If you're a sponsor and you don't have sponsorees right now and you want to be a sponsor, I suggest saying, "I'm willing." Thank you.
Thank you, Joyce. And our third speaker this afternoon, I guess, is where we are, is Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa, grateful member of Al-Anon. And thank you, Kathy, and thank you especially to Terry and Joyce for their talks. I appreciate what you had to say. They said everything I was going to say, but thank you very much. So we can wrap up. But I want to thank also the committee for asking me to be here, and also recognize I came in here August of 89 because my brother's drinking really bothered me. My brother will have 20 years, God willing, next month, and he's in this room, and he's here with his first sponsor. So thank you, Jim, and thank you to your sponsor, Jeff. Thank you. The miracles. I got into Al-Anon. I heard that he did six things, you know, and my mind wanted to, didn't have a lot of power to focus on a lot of different things. I was out there thinking about a lot, and I heard six things, and to keep it simple, it was go to meetings, get a sponsor, take commitments, work the steps, sponsor others, and pray on your knees. And I thought, okay, let me list those and see what I can do. And, you know, I first went to go in, and one of the things was to try and find a sponsor, and that's what this workshop's about. And I did as we talked about here, and I can remember, I grew up with the disease of alcohol. I'm affected by the family disease of alcoholism, and trust and having to allow somebody to get to know me. I can look good on the outside, but allow you to hear and see the things on the inside. And I knew that was going to be something I was going to have to do with the relationship with the sponsor. And at first it was just finding somebody that it was just, you know, a warm place to be. Just finding somebody that I just felt that I could trust. And that sponsorship pamphlet talks about acceptance, care, love, and understanding, and, you know, accepting me. And I thought it was going to be this sort of judgment sort of thing. That was just what my perception was going to be. But what I have come to learn over the years, it's just this warm light, and that I'm attracted to it, and attracted to it by people because I can learn to let down my guard. And I remember taking my first four, doing my fourth step and doing my first fifth step with my first sponsor. And, you know, my way of operating, like I said, was not letting you see in. And I remember hearing this one speaker, he talked about how, you know, no one had all 52 cards on him. You know, no one held all 52 cards. It was like he had this group and that group, and I so related. And when I had a chance to do the fifth step with the sponsor, you know, and I remember at the end of it, and at the end of it, she said, is there anything that you haven't told me? And I was able to answer, no. You know it all. And it was like, you know, we hear we're as sick as our secrets. And I had secrets. And I was just able to give them to somebody. And and know that acceptance, care, love, and understanding was there, and I didn't have to worry about what the judgment was going to be. It was just and I remember before we I did the fifth step, we got on our knees, and she just said, you know, hold God's hand in one and mine in the other. And for me, that's what a sponsorship relationship has been. It's just that they may be able to, you know, I've come to learn that what I need to hear, I'm going to hear through others, and I'm going to see through others, their action they take, and I just have to be willing to ask God to help me open my eyes sometimes. And so I see that with the example that my sponsor leads today, and the other people that she sponsors. And over the course of the years, I have changed sponsors, and I have a sponsor today that practices, you know, all six things and sponsors others. And before this, we were at a breakfast that her sponsor puts together every international, where it's the grand sponsor and then all her babies and all their babies and all the people from all over the world, really. And we come together, and it's just, I get to see the worldwide fellowship through sponsorship and what we've learned to do. And it's a line of sponsorship that I respect and that I participate in. And I've heard that right before this at the breakfast, you know, that it's not a program of convenience, you know, and I want it to be, I will do anything for anybody as long as I'm not inconvenienced. You know, that's what my head automatically thinks, you know. And it was funny because I was racing over here, and I had to go to the bathroom and find the thing and sign the thing and get in here and all this. And I'm in the bathroom, and the phone rings, and it's a woman I sponsor. And I'm thinking, I can't talk to you now. I have to think about what I'm going to say about sponsorship at a sponsorship, you know. And I was like, you know, Janet, I'm about to talk. Just let's. I'm going to get on my knees in this cube, whatever the bathroom thing, and let's just say a prayer together. And you know, for me, it's a sponsee, but I need to hear them, you know, and I need to be, and like I think somebody else was saying, you know, it's whatever I'm saying sometimes is exactly what I need to be hearing. And and I believe that's where, you know, it's two or more are gathered. And a few internationals ago, the motto or whatever you call it, slogan, was I am responsible, you know. And it's where anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I am responsible to carry the Al-Anon program. And I know today that I may be the only example of a big book somebody will see, you know, and I am responsible for being the best Al-Anon that I can be. And so when I have the fortunate experience of being able to work with others, I know that it is something that's been, I can take what has been so freely given to me and be able to pass it on to somebody else. And, you know, it's through that action that I get to be, you know, called a sponsor as well as have my sponsor. And I'm grateful today. you know, I think that when I look at you know, the traditions, like you were saying, that we like I said, you guys said it all, but I'm grateful to God today that I have the willingness, you know, to listen. I remember hearing a long time ago that I have, you know, two ears and one mouth, and that I should be listening twice as much as I'm talking. And I, you know, I want to jump to, oh, I already know what you're going to say, you know, and here's what it is you need to do. And, you know, that's not what a sponsorship role has to be or needs to be. And that's what I've learned, is to keep my mouth shut and listen for the question mark. You know, I love that, because they may not have asked me a question. They just may need to talk. And I just may need to just listen. And when I listen for the question mark, It's, you know, an invitation from God to say, you know, Lisa, you can share your experience, strength, and hope, and that's it. You know, and if I don't have that experience, strength, and hope, I remember my first sponsor, one of the biggest gifts she gave me was saying, you know, I don't have that experience. You may want to talk to somebody else who does. And, you know, my experience isn't everything. It's just what I know today. And I'm, you know, I'm grateful. I'm attracted to people in meetings who, you know, have brothers or siblings who are alcoholic and know that relationship. And I find that, my sponsor, even though she doesn't have that specific experience, you know, she works steps and it shows me and guides me through her example. I recognize that I still hesitate to allow people to get to know me, and that's what I have to force myself. I have a call time with my sponsor once a week, 15 minutes, and she says to me, you know, this is your time, Lisa. This is where you get to talk to me, because she sponsors a lot of women, and sometimes and meetings are her time to get her recovery, and so I need to respect that and commit to my call time with her. And she'll have me do things on those call times so that I'm prepared to talk about not my calendar or what happened this week, but really what's going on. And I think that's important because that's where I'm going to have the recovery and growth. She's having me work the traditions right now on my family and writing about that. When we did a fifth step together, you know, on the fourth column, I'm sorry, you know, where it talks about your part, she said, you know, start to write about your reaction and, you know, and your behavior, and you'll start to see the pattern. And sure enough, you know, no matter who the person was, what the situation, it was like the same old thing of how I react. And she learned that from her sponsor. And so, you know, one of the greatest gifts I've learned is that, you know, I come from a strong sponsorship that somehow I just fell into, and for that I'm grateful, and I don't know where it's going to lead me. And, you know, I want to peek behind that curtain, you know, and I want to see what's going on. And I know that God has a wonderful plan, that he's back there. And we were at this breakfast just before this, and they were talking about how, you know, this program, this alcoholic was talking with a lot of years of recovery, and he was just saying how, you know, the Wizard of Oz, how it starts out in black and white, and Dorothy is there in black and white and walking through, and then all of a sudden goes kind of through this transition, and it's this vivid technicolor. And, you know, that's what I have seen in my life and the experience that I have in this program, that, you know, I came here and things were black and white, you know, literally. It was good, bad. I was wrong or I was right. I was just, you know, more wrong all the time in my head. And through the relationship of being able to open myself up just a crack, you know, just opening that Pandora's box just enough to allow, you know, somebody else to know me and not be in fear. And through that transition of working the steps and working with others and taking commitments and praying on my knees and doing the six things and going to meetings and sponsoring others, you know, my life has transitioned into that living color. And I never would have known that or expected that just because I came here because, you know, I couldn't get him to stop drinking. And for that, I'm just so grateful. Thank you.